I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And serendipitously, we actually scheduled this session before we decided to celebrate International Women's Day, Anna, but we just happened to have a session with an artist from the Twin Cities, Anna Stein. Welcome, Anna.
Thank you, Christine, and so good to be here today.
Well, we're thrilled to have you, and she's here with guitarist Robert Bell. And you are doing a show coming up tonight at Beaners, and it's your first Duluth show.
It's my Duluth debut, and I am so excited. Duluth has a very special place in my heart, and several trips up to the North Shore inspired some of the tracks on the album, so it feels pretty exciting for me to be here.
And what time does that show start?
That starts at 7 p.m. tonight.
Okay. And anybody else playing on the bill?
Yes. It's Mama Caught Horses?
Mama Stolen Horses.
Oh. Sorry. Caught Stolen.
All right. And that sounds like a great lineup right there. And I think it's been a while since they played out, so it'll be fun to
We're excited to hear them.
Great. Well, why don't we have you get started with a song, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about your new album, Company of Now, and just how you found your way to Minnesota and all that good stuff. What do you want to play first?
Sounds good. We're going to start with the track Growing Pains. This song was absolutely inspired by some North Shore sights and experiences I had, so be on the listen for a few Minnesota references.
Must it gave a part of me away? And I went on a summer day. Must it gave a part of me away?
That is Anna Stein live from Studio A, and a tune from her new album, Company of Now. So you're a fairly recent Minnesota resident, right?
Yeah, it's fairly new. I moved here about 3.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So at the same time, it feels like just yesterday, but it also feels like it's been home for quite a while. Really found a home here and found a community here. So 2015, summer of 2015, I moved up here and didn't know a soul. And I've learned a lot and grown a lot as a person and a musician along the way.
Mm-hmm. And it was for a job that you came up to
it
Minneapolis,
was,
right?
Mm-hmm. Technically an internship.
Oh, an internship.
I'm also a music therapist, and to become board certified, we have to do a 6-month internship. So I came up here to do that at Park Nicollet down in Minneapolis, and just kind of fell in love with the city and the music scene and all the opportunities to be outside and bike around the lakes, and didn't really expect myself to stay. But much to my family's surprise, I said, I'm not coming home.
Wow. And where is home? Where are you from originally?
Home is Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, okay. So a little bit different.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like, I want to know a little bit more about music therapy. I know that you aren't currently doing that, I don't believe, right?
That's correct, yeah. I had my last day at the hospital about a month ago.
Okay, but that's something that I hear about a lot, and I'm just curious what that entails.
Yeah, so I'll give you kind of the quick snippet. Music therapy is the clinical use of music interventions delivered by a board-certified music therapist. So it's the use of music to accomplish non-musical goals like pain management, emotional expression and regulation. A lot of music therapists work in end-of-life hospice care. So it's a lot of helping end-of-life issues like agitation, reminiscence, just providing comfort and peace to both the family and the patient during those moments. But music therapists work in all different settings. Another big population we work with is kiddos with autism, mental health. So I specialized in medical, surgical, and mental health music therapy. That's kind of been my wheelhouse as a music therapist.
It's really amazing, the power of music. I know people have been talking a lot about how it works with Alzheimer's patients. Mm-hmm. There's recently been a choir started in Duluth for Alzheimer's patients,
that's
because
awesome.
That's one of the last things that, you know, that they retain is that memory of music.
Yeah.
So it's just the power of music is so amazing to me.
It really is. And it's kind of magical in a way. I have a lot of memories of working at the hospital and working with a patient who was really struggling to even communicate their name or basic needs. And then you engage with them with a song from their 20s. What we've found is that the music that you really listened to when you were in your early adult years, that's what kind of brings you back. And you sing some of those songs, and all of a sudden, not only are they singing every word, but they're giving you eye contact, and you just kind of see that light in their eyes come back. And sometimes they'll even share memories of where they were when they first heard that song. So it just kind of unlocks this the human that's still inside of people when they're even to the end stages of Alzheimer's.
That's really amazing. And of course, you're a musician. I'm someone that works with music for a living. So we know about that powerful pull
Absolutely.
Of music, but it's great to kind of have that be acknowledged in a professional mm-hmm. way like that and to help people mm-hmm. and that it's being used to help people. All right. Well, so I just was curious about that because that's something that I've heard a lot about, but have not personally talked to somebody that's done that. So good to know. So you were pursuing that, but then you decided to pursue your own music, to stop doing that. You said just a month ago you quit, something like that?
I did, yeah.
So tell me what that experience has been like, taking that plunge.
It has been terrifying, exciting, exhilarating, definitely a bit of a roller coaster experience. The week before I quit, the full band, Robert was there for this. We played at Ice House and just had a beautiful evening. And it really affirmed the decision to take that leap. Because I feel very passionate about music therapy, and it was hard to take a step away from. But I really felt like in order to honor my own inner muse and my the songs that I've written and continue to write, I needed to dedicate my whole self to it. And one of the things about music therapy is it can be a little bit emotionally exhausting, and I just found myself having a hard time with self-care and dedicating enough of myself to this that I wanted But it's been exciting. I went out on a tour out to California and shot a couple of music videos. So there's a lot of exciting things coming up, and I've been very grateful for friends and family and bandmates, Robert, my boyfriend, for encouraging me even in those moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, did I make the right decision doing this? And just continue to get that affirmation that I'm on the right path.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, and let's back up a little bit. So tell me about your musical background before you moved to the Twin Cities. Had you done much performing, writing? Had you been doing that all along?
Yeah, I'd kind of been, you know, music has always been a big part of my life. My mom is a piano teacher. So ever since the time I was a kid, I remember sitting on the steps and just kind of yearning to learn the piano. And then that led to the guitar and the saxophone and taking voice lessons. And in high school, I struggled with some mental health concerns, and music was sometimes the only thing that really made sense to me. And, you know, that's a challenging time for anyone, I think, adolescence. And I remember there being times I couldn't put into words what I was feeling, but I would sit down at the piano and it would just kind of come out. And it reminds me of the conversation we were having about Alzheimer's, where that light in your eyes kind of comes out again. And I think music does that too for individuals experiencing depression and anxiety. It just brings back that humanity and allows that emotional expression. So that's kind of what led me to pursue music therapy, was my own experience with healing through music and using it as an outlet. And so I went to school for music therapy, and in that time I did have a couple of different bands, and we'd perform at local festivals and bars. But it wasn't really until about a year ago when I met Robert that that I felt encouraged to really give this my all and pursue being a musician professionally. So we met weekly, and he produced the album. We did some co-writing on several of the songs, and put a lot of thought and intention into the music, and it felt so right. I felt so inspired and at home pursuing music in this way.
Right, nice. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. So where did you meet? Did he see you perform? Or
All kind of full circle. He actually was performing at the hospital. I was working at Regents Hospital, mm-hmm. and a small piece of my position when I wasn't doing clinical music therapy, I was the healing arts coordinator, and I would book professional musicians to come play in our atrium for a performance series. And he was playing there with Cafe Accordion Orchestra, I think it was. And I don't even remember how we got to talking, but it was just one of those connections, kindred spirits. And I think he was looking to do some producing work. And I was kind of dreaming about recording an album, and the stars aligned.
Oh, wonderful. So you already had songs, and you were just, I think I was reading somewhere that you kind of, you know, you like to play music, but you just didn't think of it as something that you could do, you know?
Yeah, it was scary to change my identity in that way, from I play songs and I go to open mic and I'm a musician to I'm a musical artist. There's a big leap there and a lot of intentional shifting from what your goal is with it.
Mm-hmm. So when did you actually start recording the album?
We recorded the album in May of 2018.
Oh, okay.
At Creation Audio in Minneapolis. And
had you been planning that to do an album before you met Robert, or
not really?
Was that kind of helpful in getting you to?
Meeting Robert was the magical piece. I think before meeting him, I was thinking about recording an EP of solo acoustic songs in a friend's apartment. So it meeting him and having a producer to work with and having him to help really give these songs life pushed it to the next level, and I'm really grateful for that. It's kind of shows the power of when you allow someone to step into your music and give it their own personality and their own identity, just how powerful collaboration can be. Mm-hmm. Was a big lesson this past year.
Well, and so you had the songs already. You were thinking about doing something with them, but mm-hmm. this kind of pushed it in a different direction.
Yeah.
And it's a really lovely album, and because, you know, sometimes you get a debut album from somebody and you think, well, this is nice. You know, I'm interested to see what they do next. That mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure they'll progress. And this is just really, really lovely, and kind of feels like, I don't know how to phrase it, but it's really a great album. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Thank you.
And I am still also excited to see what you're going to do next, but you're starting, I feel like you're kind of starting at a high level already. Ooh. as a new artist.
Thank you.
It starts with the sound of a bicycle chain, and I am a bicycle rider, so I appreciate that. And I actually was very curious where the sound of the chain came from. This is a weird question, but this is how my brain works. Like, how do you record the sound of a bicycle chain? That seems really awkward.
It's a great question. I have a video of Robert warming it up, but we literally brought my bicycle into the studio mm-hmm. and flipped it over on its side.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Okay.
And then,
so you were not riding around on the bicycle with somebody, with Robert running beside you with a handheld recorder.
That
okay.
would be something else. No, but if I'm remembering right, I think we did a few takes of it and we were kind of playing with the pacing of it mm-hmm. to get it to match the meter and the tempo. And the take that's on the song, it was this magical moment where it slowed down, and if you listen to the end of the track, it like the last click is almost just a couple beats after the last piano reverberation, and it just was beautifully came together.
Nice.
I've gotten some interesting people on the internet guessing at what else the bicycle sound was.
Funny. Well, and riding your bicycle around when you first moved to the Twin Cities, you didn't know anybody, you didn't have any connections. That was kind of one of your ways of kind of exploring, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was a great way to explore, and my bicycle kind of became my best friend in a way. You know, I get home from work and I talked about how music therapy can be really intense work, and that was a big way that I decompressed from my day and then also processed the feeling of being freshly out of college and moving to a new city, not knowing anyone, missing my family, and kind of pondering who I wanted to be and what direction I was going, and a lot of those human questions I think young 20s somethings ask themselves, and the biking around the lakes was kind of my arena for processing that. And a lot of the themes on the album I think started on those bike rides, so having it as the intro to the album felt like a way to just pay ode to those rides and how they influenced all the themes that came out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you want to play next for us?
We're going to play Porch Swing next. It's one of the, I'd say, moodier songs on the album. The rain. foggy moon brings me back to started. It's so hard when I go through the motions. My body's not going nowhere. I try to forget the way. Study the sidewalks, the cracks still remain. Do you go back there like I do?
That is Anna Stein live from Studio A, another tune from her Company of Now album. Very nice, very nice. So you mentioned earlier that some trips up the North Shore also inspired some of the songs on here. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. I've always loved road trips, mm-hmm. and I've always loved lakes. There's just something about bodies of water, specifically ones where you look out and you can't see the other side, just that expansiveness that's inspired a sense of calm and wonder for me. And I'll never forget the first time I saw Lake Superior. I was driving up to meet some friends and arrived at night, so I had no idea what to expect, and just waking up the next morning and looking out and just seeing the big blue expansive roaring, kind of angry, powerful lake. It was very, very inspiring to me. And I remember a couple of times feeling overwhelmed and down and just leaving for the weekend by myself and coming up to do a solo trip and do some hiking. And every time I left, I just felt centered and grounded and like taking a piece of that powerful energy back to the Twin Cities with me. So I think just those trips of connecting with myself and connecting to that inner strength and resilience has been really impactful for me.
Oh, wonderful. And you said that kind of made it into some of the songs.
Yeah, it did. Undoubtedly.
Nice. So where did you record the album?
We recorded it at Creation Audio mm-hmm. in Minneapolis with Miles Hansen. Mm-hmm. He did all of the tracking and the mixing as well.
Was this your first recording experience, or had you done recording before?
It was. Oh, okay. Yeah, I did some like my own closet recording stuff, but as far as being in a real live studio and having that whole experience, it was the first time. It was a blast. We had a lot of fun. Learned a lot. Was absolutely exhausted by the end of it. But it was a great experience.
And who else is on the album?
Andrew Dizzy Gillespie mm-hmm. played drums on the album, and Andrew Foreman played bass.
Oh, okay, nice. And do you have a regular band in the cities now, or do you play?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Dizzy still plays drums with us, and Andrew Foreman is often on tour with Reina Del Cid and Nookie Jones and some other groups. So Keith Giannis has been my bass player mm-hmm. for the last 5 months or so. So I feel really lucky to have them. It's always a blast to play the songs live with a band. They just kind of take on a different energy than solo or even duo. So it's fun to step into the different ways of playing and ways of feeling them.
Mm-hmm. And you had a residency, I think, somewhere for a couple of years?
I did, a long residency. Mm-hmm. I feel like I kind of lived there, truly. Troubadour Wine Bar. I was there a little over 2 years, every single Wednesday. And I learned a lot about stage banter and stage presence and just kind of play into a room, even when the room is all talking over you, and how to deal with that emotion. And then I said goodbye to that residency, I think, in January, and Robert and I are returning tomorrow to do a 2-hour set. So we'll be there 9:30 to 11:30.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard things about residencies. First of all, it can be a great way to kind of develop, because mm-hmm. you're trying, you know, you're doing something every week, and people aren't always paying as close of attention as you might want them
right.
to, but that kind of gives you a little freedom, because then you can mess around a little bit.
Absolutely. I had a lot of fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that spot is notorious for a lot of dates, first time dates, like Tinder dates. So I got really good at like noodling up there, and then I can spot a Tinder date like that now. Like, I just telltale signs.
And would you call that out from the stage ever?
Maybe. I don't know.
Do we have any Tinder dates in the audience?
Yeah. Sometimes I'd like specifically do like a love song and see. But the funny thing is, I found that if they were listening, it usually meant the date wasn't going well. So, you know.
That's a good point,
actually. Learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're not going to make it.
Yeah. They're listening to me.
So are you doing a lot of shows around the Twin Cities? You say that, I know you're doing some touring too, you said.
Yeah. Yeah. So part of leaving my job was to open the door to do some more touring. So we've got the show tomorrow, and then I'm at the Astor. At the end of the month, I'm opening up for Lowland Hum at Moon Palace Books. And then I head back to Ohio for a little bit. So I'll play in Chicago on that. It's not a tour. I'm just spending some time at home with family and going to play some local shows in Cincinnati. And then I'll be back in end of April. And then Robert and I hit the road on a tour. We're going to do a 2-week run down to Cincinnati. And I'm hoping to be back for most of the summer.
Nice. So have you done a lot of shows in your hometown?
Not really.
So
no.
Is this going to be kind of fun or weird? Or
Yeah, it's definitely been both. I did a tour down there in November and played a venue and had someone open for me who I had admired from the time I was 15. And it was a really weird full circle moment to have all these people in the audience who maybe heard me sing at church one time when I was 12. And they just didn't, I don't think they really knew what to expect. So it's been cool to have those full circle moments, and, you know, having my piano teacher show up to one of the concerts. And in many ways, I feel like a different person than I was when I left Cincinnati. And I never really explored the music scene there too much. Mm-hmm. I left when I was 18, and it's been fun to go back and step back into it and from a new perspective.
Nice. Well, we have time for one more. What do you want to wrap up with here?
We're going to wrap up with the title track off the album, Company of Now. Let's do a quick tune. I just want to thank you, Christine, so much for having us. It's been a blast talking to you, and thank you to KUMD.
Oh, no problem. As I was telling Anna off the air, you know, you rarely get a debut album and you say, wow, this is so amazing. You know, they're usually pretty good. They're, you know, some of them are, you know, better than others, but this one just kind of felt fully formed right out of the gate. So that's always really, really nice.
Well, and I also have Robert to thank for a lot of that. Definitely cannot take sole credit for it.
Robert declined a microphone today in honor of International Women's Day. He's going to let Anna do all the talking, but so
thank you.
So hopefully
we'll take the mic.
But getting some shout outs at least. And again, Anna is playing tonight at Beener Central with Mama's Stolen Horses, and that show starts at 7 o'clock at Beener's.
think I saw my ghost again. Think I found it in the me. Look myself in the eyes and I said, don't swallow yourself in fear. Don't you swallow yourself in fear. I'm tired of taking the way I think I should. I'm tired of walking in a lie. Try to find my feet right here. If you just have.
That is Anna Stein, along with Robert Bell, live from Studio A. Well, thank you so much, Anna. That was just lovely.
Thank you, Christine. It's been a pleasure.
And again, Anna and Robert playing tonight at Beener Central in Duluth, Mama Stolen Horses, getting the show started, I believe, at 7 o'clock is when it all starts. And, yeah, I think that's anything else we need to say.
Hope to see you there. Thank you again.
All right. Today's Live from Studio A session was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.